Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show in podcast form. If you're new to the setup, you can stay on top of and be a part of what's happening with the show simply by following Rugby Pass and the Aussie Rugby Show on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. And bit of a language warning in this week's episode. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show, brought to you by Extra Hop. Stops breaches 84% faster. Sean Maloney, we have a sponsor
for the show. That's right, Extra Hop. Welcome to the Aussie Rugby Show family. Great to have you with us. Great to have you alongside
nice
us, Steezy and Drew as well. Extra Hop, huh?
So what is it, cyber security? They stop all these breaches coming into your laptops or
hackers.
Phones? I could do that.
I didn't
even put up a fort and a moat and all this sort of thing.
Nothing to do with your search history, Drew. It's a different type of hacking.
You know. Yeah. I don't trust anything, not even the cloud, so I need extra.
Four words, clear history, all time to live by, they are. Lou, what have we got going on?
We're at Seaforth Rugby Club this week, and it's great to be here. Sean, tell me a little bit about them.
The Mighty Raiders. The Mighty
Seaforth. One of your old clubs?
Another one of my old clubs. Won a premiership with them back in 97. George Smith playing alongside me before. George has been around a little bit too.
George has been to a few clubs as well.
Right,
but it really is a great club. Massive on the girls front too. Over 100 registered girls players here, more than any other club in Sydney, thanks to El Presidente Michael Clark and Marnia Masters, another man with a magic touch here at the Raiders. Great club.
Also, it's great clubhouse. Did you have a party here at one point?
Can we touch on my 21st later?
We'll come back to the 21st. All right.
Okay, cool.
There's still beer stains on the wall over there.
Make sure you suggest a rugby club for us to come and visit in New South Wales at the moment with COVID issues, of course. But we love to bring everything to different clubs. We are going to talk about what got you from the weekend. Hoylesy, I'm going to go to you first.
I'm going to start here. What got me was the Seaforth Balgala Raiders Player of the Year. 2 years in a row, 1996 and 1997, Sean Maloney.
What's this?
I did not remember
George Smith's name is not even on it. And I now actually, I thought you couldn't play a good game of footy without George Smith, but it is clear and obvious that you played at least two good games in 2 years, Sean.
There you go. Oh, thanks for that, buddy.
You can keep that.
I did not put that there either.
You did, Sean.
I did not put that there. What got you, Drew Mitchell?
A couple of things got me. Firstly, it was saying goodbye, bidding farewell. Au revoir. No, it wasn't. What's sayonara? That's what it is. Because a couple of the boys are going back to Japan Top League. Had a nice quiet meal with Bernard Foley and a few friends on Friday night. Okay, I'm lying. It wasn't that quiet. But it was a nice way to send him off. Obviously, going back up there, Paddy Ryan, Will Genya, all the boys that have been that are stationed up in Japan, they're going back up there. So that's what got me over the weekend. And then kind of carried on to my Saturday morning, which got me even probably a bit more in the feels. I did the stupid thing of looking at some of our comments of our shows, and I was laying there.
Never do that.
I was there, and I was a little bit tongue-over, and I actually had ordered two pies on Uber Eats, and I then proceeded to look at all the comments and talk about how fat I look and overweight, and I was grazing. The only depth that Drew Mitchell is worried about is the depth of the KFC line, that I'm a pie eater. And I couldn't really be too upset because I was actually laying in bed eating a pie. But don't be so nasty, people. No feelings.
It's a tough school.
That's why I've gone black. Yeah, I've gone black. This week I'm trying to sit upright.
Tough school. Yeah. As long as you're on the NC, that automatically wipes off 28 kilos.
You reckon it's the NC, dude?
That's all it is.
We've got some mean viewers.
We really do. Speaking of viewing, my what got me was something a little left field. Had me chuckling all afternoon. Don't know if you guys saw this. Three-year-old in Taiwan at a kite festival, stumbles in behind the longest kite I've ever seen, gets wrapped up in it, gets sent 300 metres in the air, flung about like a little ribbon. Yeah. comes down untouched. One of the greatest things I've seen in 2020.
It's a feel-good story, really. The end result is remarkable. Considering
how high do you reckon that little three-year-old is? I've got it clocked at 7Ks.
I thought it was a few hundred metres, but let's go with 7K.
It felt like 7K.
It was like one of those Foxtails, you know, those things where you just throw the ball and like... She was just like blowing around. Yeah, anyways, remarkable that she came down unscathed.
Great to hear. What did you... Got you.
Mine was Shoot Shield. I know I kind of say that every week, but it's so good on Coogee Oval. It's my local ground. I know you'll be a fan of this. Yes. But it was just, the weather was amazing in Sydney on the weekend. The vibe was great. It was COVID safe, but it sort of felt like one of those like games where everyone was really about it all. And it was a really great game as well. Only 2 points in it in the end.
Yeah, or Emmerich have been undefeated. Eastwood end up beating them by 2 points. It gave me another... reason, and I've long thought that club rugby is where we need to put a big focus for next year, especially now with all of this sort of talk about borders potentially not opening. Like, I know we're still talking Super Rugby AU and how we merge them, but a national club comp, something with those clubs playing from March all the way through to October, November, because this time of year, this weather is exactly what the game needs again. Yeah. Like, it was really good to see.
And it was a who's who. There were so many former Wallabies down there watching on that are still involved in club rugby at so many levels. So if you've got that support, that's what we've all got to tap into and make it commercially viable and sort of to continue on in the future.
If that's the starting point, we've still got 6 rounds left, regular season Shoot Shield. If those players get to come back to their respective clubs here in Brisbane as well, oh man, the back end's going to be amazing.
Well, that's what's been so good in club footy all across the country, is that you've got all these rep players or fringe rep players or, you know, 20s or 7s players. Normally only get them for maybe 2, 3, 4 games at the back end of the year. You've pretty much got them for the whole year, and you've still got some Waratah and Brumbies and Reds players.
Especially this year with, you know, the likes of, I guess, Rupert and the like, saying that there's not a capped amount of games that you can play per year. So that, you know, we're not worrying about their workload and that type of thing. So players can genuinely come back, and players always do want to come back. Often it's more just about the load that they're going through with Super Rugby into Test season and all that sort of stuff. I think Pat Cowan even is looking at maybe coming back over to play up here in the Northern Beaches. Yep. And you know, so players want to get back to club footy and and get involved. But and like you say, it's a perfect opportunity this year, given that they haven't played a full year of footy.
Well, Super Rugby rocks and diamonds. What you liked, what you didn't like from the weekend. Sean Maloney.
Mine's a rock slash diamond. Michael Hooper, amazing again at the weekend. I can't believe he's going to Japan. I'm upset that he's going Aussie rugby. He's poorer for not having him week in, week out next year. He's just a mate. The charge down, the seal of the game. Harrison.
That little switchback play back into Walton was a nice one as well.
It's a rock and a diamond hoops.
He'll be back. Like, he won't miss Walton.
It's a boomerang deal. He's not quitting Rugby Australia like a lot of these other journos are saying.
But I could watch him all day, every day. You know where I'm coming from, unfortunately. Yeah. You, Rock Diamond?
I started to look and notice a few little quirky things that players are looking for, that little bit of an edge.
Yeah.
There's at least talk that Tom Banks maybe vassoed up his legs over the weekend. There's a couple of players. Right. I think Richard Kahui complained to say that he felt that there was Vaseline on the legs of Tom Banks.
Firstly, is that legal?
I don't know if it's legal or not.
100% it's legal.
Yeah, it used to be all the time.
You can slap and DP'd on. You can slap some Vaso on.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe that's why I missed so many tackles. They all had Vaso on.
You know what I'm saying?
I was on a roll with. And the other one was pickle juice. Matt Tamua at some point.
That sounds revolting.
Consumed pickle juice. It took me back
good with corned beef though, Lou.
When
take your word for it.
At one point through my Wallaby career, whatever, they brought in beetroot concentrate, right? And so it was just before a test match, and they're like, it helped with the hydration or cramps or something or other. And it was like a little, I don't know, 50ml shot of beetroot concentrate. And so I took that. And then you go through your normal like warm up and whatever, and I come back from my nervous wee before a game, and I'm like, oh. And I get really nervous, and I go right in the corner. You're not the corner, but I go right in the corner.
Let's look if you come this way.
I'm thinking,
we're on major.
Yeah. I've got blood in my urine, right? Because it was red, right?
No.
So I'm like, they're like 2 minutes until we're out in the field. And I'm sitting there thinking, I'm so ill. Like, I'm sick. And I'm like, I've just been bleeding urine. And I go out and play these 80 minutes, and I'm like just thinking, how do I tell my family? Like, I'm ill, right? And I go back to the doctor. I said, Doc. And he said, Drew, you fine? I said, yeah, look, I'm fine. There's no injuries, but like, I need to have a private chat. I said, Doc,
another one.
I've got blood in my urine. I said, I've got blood in my urine. He's like, what? And I had to give him a sample. He goes, mate, did you have beetroot concentrate? I was like, yeah. And he goes, oh, God. I was like, Doc, you can't do that to me before a game. I was worried for 80 minutes out there playing. I don't know who it was. I was worried. worried sick. And I was actually sick myself. So hopefully those boys aren't getting any of those sort of ramifications using pickle juice.
I like that he didn't buffalo either.
Yeah, that's
when the left.
Yeah,
of course.
You just made me that decision.
Yeah, very strong.
Rocks and Diamonds, I'm going to go referees. I thought Amy Perrett, Diamond, was outstanding. Yeah. The game flowed brilliantly. I thought it was very, very good. And she's been in the system for a long period of time, and that, you know, we'll see her regularly doing Super Rugby games from now on. On the contrary, some of the decisions in the Rebels-Tars game, big, big decisions that had ramifications on the outcome of the game. I thought that, I don't know, don't want to be bashing refs for the sake of it, but there was the try where Meeks rolled out, that was clearly out. I know it wasn't clear in Angus's Gardner's view, but if we can stop the play for so many things, why can't we look at that? Like, that was a big one.
That's where a teammate can intervene when they're going back to convert or whatever, and just say, hang on a minute, we just need to check, roll the tape,
got it.
Have a look upstairs, and then, you know, intervene. When it's, like you say, that game, crucial ramifications going forward.
For Matty Phillip getting yellow carded for contact in the air. And then Nicerani getting an shoulder to the head and nothing happened to Swindon. It just seemed odd, don't you think?
Yeah, and it's not odd that you bash the ref each week.
2 weeks in a row, decisions going against the Tars that potentially might cost them a final spot.
Yeah, bonus point sort of decision time.
Sit on that.
Yeah.
Well, big stories of the week. We'll talk about those now. We're going to talk about the Sevens, guys. Awful. The Hamilton, the Sydney legs cancelled for next year. That's alongside Dubai, Cape Town. We're going to get it back at some stage, hopefully, but it's not a great start to next year.
It's killing me. Honestly, every one of these decisions that come through, which are the right decisions to make, just sinks me further and further into a COVID-infused mire. I'm gutted by it. I'm really upset for Aussie Sevens fans, for Kiwi Sevens fans. It's awful. And the doesn't look as though that we've got a confirmed start date yet to get that next season rolling either. So it's really, and it's harder for the players. Yep. It's way harder for the players.
You need a date. You need that to work.
I feel I caught up with Tim Walsh, your old assistant head of the Aussie Sevens squad earlier today, and he said it's so difficult for these guys because they don't know what they're working towards. I mean, they've got the Olympics, but do they have the Olympics? Same goes for the women's squad, having worked with Shan Parry last week. So it's just, it's tough.
It's also just knowing what you want to do for your career trajectory. You know, whether you make a decision to go 15s or try and chase a contract elsewhere because you don't know, because there's no clarity. And look, it's something that we all want to seek at this point in time. And a lot of what we're all doing, there's not a great deal of clarity, but it's probably been of no surprise that these tournaments have been cancelled, but it just still doesn't mean to say that, you know, it feels
stinks.
Any better about it, right? Like,
it stinks.
I mean, we all would love to have seen it go ahead, but it's just in the current climate, it sucks and we're just going to have to ride this one through and hopefully all the players are doing everything they can to stay on top of things mentally as well as physically and just put themselves in the right position so that when an opportunity does present itself, that they're ready.
It makes it hard too with so many players doing so well playing a 15-man game, missing and shoot shield. I feel like that decision that Drew was talking about, that's going to be really tricky to know what to stick with and where to go.
Yeah, like, and to be fair, out of the Australian squad, all of the guys that have gone back and played club footy on the weekend watching Tim Anstey was outstanding in the second row for Eastwood. He hasn't played 15s for probably 4 or 5 years. Maurice Longbottom, Lockie Miller, they haven't played 15s at all. Simon Kennywell's back playing. Dylan Peach has been on fire at the wing for the weeks at the moment. So there has been some positives for the players, but the tough thing is a lot of these guys are uncontracted. So the Aussie guys, they pretty much, the squad that they thought were going to be in the Olympics, like say there's a core 8 or 10 of them, those guys are all off contract, ready to move on to 15s and other, and they're the ones that can't or haven't been re-signed. And we're not talking millions and millions of dollars to keep the men's program together. It's about $500,000, a little bit less, to keep the nucleus of the squad together until the Olympics. And what they're going to need to do now is, with all these World Series tournaments being banned, they're going to have to go to an Oceania type scenario with Fiji and Samoa and New Zealand, which is still good preparation for the Olympics. But I think it does open up the opportunity, Sean, for...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Something along the lines of an IPL or a Big Bash, or you know, something different to what we're seeing as a World Series. I know there's always got to be a place for people representing their country. I just think at the moment, it's prior to COVID, it was one of the parts of the game, women's rugby and sevens rugby and women's sevens rugby, it was growing at gangbuster rates. Like, it was selling out every stadium. Yeah. It was going really well, and it's COVID's really hurt it because it's so international. But it just makes me think there's got to be an opportunity somewhere there for some new type of concept with sevens.
I think, you know, people are obviously thinking about it because they see the interest in sevens. I know that when I was finishing up in France, there was talk about every top 14 team having a sevens team, yep, as well, and also the inclusion of a Monaco team at that point in time. Obviously, it hasn't come to fruition just yet, but I'm sure
it's still
because they were talking
thought,
about it. Yeah, those talk, yeah, it's still in discussions.
This is where I think it might cause some dramas. At the moment, obviously an Olympic sport. Yep. I think if you branch away from that, take the nationality away from the, yep, series, then you run the risk of losing that Olympic standing. If you take that franchise-based model, yeah, potentially can knock that out. And the other thing that the other reason I like to see it sort of continue on in a variation of its current state, there are a few things to be ironed out, is the fact that we've got kids coming through now who, from that same squad that you helped coach, who I believe will be Wallabies,
yep,
down
agree,
the track. You played Aussie Sevens, yep, bunch of Wallabies. Matt Giotto played. There is a long list of guys who played Sevens for Australia who've gone on to play for the Wallabies. And I think if you move away from that...
I'm not saying move away. No, I'm just saying 12 tournaments a year in the Australian jersey, but as opposed to six, and maybe six somewhere else in a, you know, like a London-based team where you've got Carl and Isles playing.
So you still have the World Series, but
you still have the World
events.
Series, but you just,
gotcha,
have less.
Okay.
But then you have another competition where you've got Lewis Holland in the same team as Carl and Isles,
gotcha,
and Dan Norton and Jerry Tuai. Like, and that's owned by someone else. So there's an opportunity for those to be privately owned, just like we see in the IPL and the Big Bash and these type of things. Definitely don't leave the World Series alone,
gotcha,
but just maybe look at the number of tournaments. And the other thing, that they probably... they're playing 12 tournaments a year plus a few warm-up ones. Mm-hmm. There's probably scope, if they get the calendar right, they can probably play every 3 or 4 weeks. So there's probably scope to play a little bit more.
Another big story we're following is about South Africa leaving the Rugby Championship, potentially reports around the last few days are about that and going up to play in a tournament in Europe, replacing Japan, who have pulled out of this tournament. All, it seems, sort of led by Bernard Laporte from World Rugby, which
Drew's
I feel
coach.
Like...
Drew's old coach.
But there's a conflict of interest there, surely. If you've got someone that's so prominent in World Rugby trying, yeah, to make these moves, it stinks
World
a little bit of
political...
World
full of conflict of interest. Like, yeah, not World Rugby itself, but the world of rugby is full of these. And you need people like Bernard to get things changed if we want to get things changed. I don't have a problem with them playing up in the Six Nations. I'd like to see them stay in the Rugby Championships, but we can't have our cake and eat it too and say, we don't want to play Super Rugby with you, but we want you to come and play Tests with us every year. We've got to be a bit flexible with that. So, again, we got to fix up the Super Rugby model. If that means without South Africa,
yeah,
that's great. I reckon they'll be good up there.
There's been, an undertone of expectation that South Africa are going to head to Europe or UK anyway because of the timelines, time zones, and also the euro and the,
yep,
and the pound is obviously pretty strong against the rand. But I also think, you know, Bernard Laporte sitting there and thinking best interest for world rugby, maybe having the world champion South African Springbok team in what I know what they think. They view the Six Nations as the strongest national competition in the world, albeit, you know, aside from the, yep, World Cup. So they might think adding someone like the world number one to it only strengthens it. So from a world rugby point of view, perhaps he's doing the right thing. But I know Bernard Laporte, he's just going to do whatever's right for whatever cause he's working for. And, you know, he ruffled some feathers when he was our coach with the administration and the coaches, the referees, everyone. But, you know, he got the job done. So, I think in some ways I really tip my hat to him. And just, like, he knows what he wants and he goes out and he goes after it. And he knows that he's going to maybe polarise some people's opinions. But, like I said, he does what he sees best for whoever he's working for.
Yeah, I just feel as though, like, all these things are more, seem like they're not short-term solutions, but if ever there's a time to come together and go, this is what we need to get rugby right, now is the perfect time. I just hope we don't waste this opportunity.
I think the one thing with what COVID's done for us, I think there's a real resistance to change what were the traditional models of our competitions in the last sort of 5 to 10 years, whereas now COVID, I think, has now made everyone at least be open to it. Remember, you know, the resistance from World Rugby and, you know, the people up north about this, the tennis side, you know, the top 10 of the world, there's resistance in that. Now, all of a sudden, they're talking about having Japan come and play in a competition, South Africa play in a competition. So I think in some ways this pandemic's made people a little bit more open-minded about opening up the old traditional competitions as we know them, and perhaps be open to other teams coming in, or, you know, for them to have a new look.
Like, if that pushes Japan down into our competition, that's a good result.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Where does that, you know, if South Africa aren't here in the rugby championship, are you still getting Argentina out here, or are we just playing New Zealand for some, you know, good but Bledisloe matches later in the year?
This year, as we said last week, not who cares, but like, let's just get some games on and get some revenue to keep the game afloat. But
Fiji?
In the short, Fiji, absolutely. But in the, you know, in the next 2, 3, 4 years, like, if we can have Fiji and Japan in this type of, you know, regular season or regular test series,
that'd be awesome.
Be great for them. It's, you know, we saw what Japan did with a bit of experience by playing in Sunwolves, and look at their World Cup. So absolutely, we need to do that.
Oh, it's back for another week. Gone but not forgotten. I love this segment, Drew Mitchell. Who have we got this week?
This one's pretty special. He's honestly one of the all-time greats, and someone that I admired from afar, but then got to know him a little bit more once he retired. It's none other than Joe Roth.
Yes.
Nice.
How
good.
Phenomenal player.
Wasn't he?
But he's popular, like, on and off the field in equal measures.
Yeah.
One of the great after-dinner speakers. Everyone's got a yarn about Roffey.
Have you got one?
Well, I don't want to take it. Do you want to take it? I've got my own one.
No, you go. Drew's probably got a good one.
I've got one. But my first Wallaby tour, 2004, Roffey had retired by then, but he had a place over on Stradbroke Island in Queensland.
Straddy.
And Jeremy Paul invited me to go along to what they would normally do as a 25-pot challenge, or a 25-schooner challenge.
That's
and
a lot of
over
pots.
At the Stradbroke Hotel. And I was, I think, what is it, 20 or whatever. And, you know, I wasn't much of a beer drinker at that point.
More of a Bacardi version out of that, I remember, Drew.
We got down there, it was myself, Jeremy, and Joe Roth. And we got you start ticking off how many you get through. And about 18 beers in, I must have a stomach bug, I had to be sick. But then there was a young gentleman inside who was in a wheelchair, and he needed to urinate. And he asked me, you know, mate, do you mind, you know, give me a hand? And I was like, sure. And I, like, underneath the arms, and I held him up over the urinal, and, you know, he did his business. And I put him down, and we, you know, washed our hands. And obviously, it was back before COVID, because social distancing and all that. But we came outside, and turns out that Jeremy and Joe were at the pool table, like, literally just about to have a fight with this bunch of dudes, right? And the guy that I helped in the bathroom wheeled over and said, guys, stop. These guys are good dudes. Like, this guy just helped me do a piss. And then, so everyone, like, put their pool cues down and shook hands and hugged it out.
We finished
our pots in 25. Boom, we got it done. And that was my introduction to Joe Roth.
You will find a lot of his stories, like, forget about how good he was a footy player, because as naturally talented as anyone, I think the story goes, like, he might have not played rugby until about...
He didn't start playing until super late.
Like 17 or 18.
Soccer, played
and
soccer as a kid.
2 years later, he was a Wallaby. Like, it's fascinating how quickly he became a successful footy player.
Yeah. My one of him was Hong Kong a few years back. We're in the Hex suite downstairs.
I saw him
on
the
trip. And I had a chat to him before doing the final. I wanted... the game came back, and it was like someone had tranquilised him.
Yeah.
And Roffey's now wife, Trine's like, you got to help me get him out of here, because you're down, you're reset.
Yeah. It's about 40 stairs, isn't
about 40
it?
Stairs down. I'm like, he's a big, Joe Roth's a big dude. Can't get him up there. She goes, you got to give me a hand. So I basically had the fireman carry him up, back issues, get him to the top. Yeah. I go, you got to go home. He goes, I'm not going till you give me a kiss. I go, no kisses, Roth. He goes, come on, give me a kiss. So I, like, peck him on the cheek, and he goes, on the lips. Grabs my head, goes, mwah. And then just runs.
Oh, see.
He's gone.
And Trine goes,
that was
a boy. That was just a kiss.
Trine's like, thank you very much. I'll see you tomorrow. Gone. Trough. Gone, but not forgotten.
Well said. Oh, the Aussie Rugby Show viewer mailbag brought to you by Extra Hop. Sean Maloney, how fast do they stop breaches?
84% faster.
Oh, I was going to say 83.
Rapid. Lightning quick.
Super quick. Okay, let's get into it. First one, what's been your best Mad Monday outfit?
Who did that come from?
That came from Instagram.
Nice one.
Okay. excuse me. Mine would probably be the year that Phil Wall retired from the Waratahs. Mm. We had, and I think maybe there's a couple others retiring, maybe Al Baxter, but he had to come as one of the retiring players. And I pushed the boat out a little bit the night before Mad Monday.
Sunday.
But I'd already organised a young student makeup artist to come over and put prosthetic makeup on my face. Except I had like maybe an hour's sleep. And I said, "Look, do you mind if I just pass out while you do the makeup and the bald cap and the long hair and whatever?" And she's like, "Yeah, no problem, like whatever." And so I sat in the lounge and just went, and I woke up like looking like I was 50 years older. I mean, I felt 50 years older, but I like went to the bathroom. And I was like, "Whoa!" And so I was Phil Wolf for the
receding hair. How'd you do the
receding hairline? Like, yeah. It basically looked like Doc from Back to the Future, which is what Phil Wolf looks like if he doesn't have a cap on. But you never see him without
Marty.
A cap.
Marty
does love a cap.
He does love a cap.
Very big fan of the cap.
I was Papa Smurf 1 year of a Mad Monday. I thought that was really good, like the face paint and stuff like that.
Yeah. Full commitment.
Yeah, got right into it. Yeah, that was good. Sure.
Burgundy. A La Jolla man clings to life. I had every quote lined up for my last one's a cracker.
Burgundy. Again,
you ever had a Mad Monday, Luke?
No, I haven't.
We can do a wrap. We can do a show wrap.
Yeah,
we
did good. That'll be fun.
What dress up?
Let's not go there, shall we? Let's move right along. I don't know why I'm moving along to this. This isn't that great. So Greg Hoey. Mm-hmm. Would like to know, are you married? So I reckon that's probably to you, Hoylesy.
I don't think Greg's asking me if I'm married, but yes, Greg, I am married, okay, mate? So back off, you sleaze. Yeah.
Greg, no ring here.
Okay, Pete Fairbairn would like to know, would you rather fight 100 Haas-sized Wendells or one Wendell-sized Haas? Haas is Adam Fryer, for those who don't know.
That's a great question.
It's a good question.
Pete's a deep
thinker.
Could
you imagine 100 Wendells? Oh, that's a lot of energy.
That's a lot of energy.
A lot of big Wendells.
You spent a weekend with him recently, too. Yeah.
I think I'd fight the Haas-sized Wendell.
Yeah.
Yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I'd go the Haas-sized Wendell.
Haas-sized Wendell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so. Nice one. Sean, you got one?
I do have one, and it's one of the players again coming to the fore for us. This time round, it's Harry Wilson and Liam Wright. Evidently, Liam Wright is mute despite being captain, and Harry does all the chatting. Get your eyes around this.
Yeah, let's have a look.
Hey, guys. Love the show. Recently at training, Rongan's been saying he's got the best facial hair in world rugby currently.
Nickname.
Running in the last 20, 30 years, who do you guys reckon has had the best facial hair? And he also agreed upon, if you guys reckon he's got the best facial hair currently in world rugby, he'll do the Nigel Bungenaar goatee and braid it right up.
All right.
Cheers, guys.
Thank you very much.
So we all agree that
he's the best in world rugby.
He's the best in world rugby.
No question.
Yeah, so we'll see the
Liam Wright has
little.
So he's going to goatee his
Liam Bungenaar on the weekend.
Thing out.
Yeah. How do they braid it?
I think they
braid it. Nigel Bungenaar used to do a couple of braids.
Who would you say has got? Who would you say has got the best?
To be nice.
Over the years.
I mean, looking back at sort of, you know, strong exponent of the facial hair. I think it's usually guys with really long hair as well. Castro Giovanni, Sebastian Chabal.
Yeah.
Snyman.
Yeah. Do you remember Jacques Cronier, the South African back rower?
Yeah, he was strong.
He was beard his whole way through. Like, I don't think I ever saw him without one.
I'm going to go an Aussie legend. 4 tries in a test match against the All Blacks.
Greg Cornelson. Yeah, that was
the
good.
The great man, Corny. Also a very good back rower as well. Definitely Corny. Great question, boys.
Yeah. Yep. Very good. Weekend forecast time now. Drew Mitchell. What do you got going on this weekend? What are you looking forward to?
Well, what I'm looking forward to is across the Dutch, the North versus South clash. They've been speaking about it for quite a while. There's a little bit of uncertainty whether it was going to go ahead and be played, but I'm really looking forward to two really deep sides, you know, in terms of depth going at it this weekend.
It used to be a mainstay over there up till 95, broke away till 2012. They brought it back.
The bang?
Fireworks.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go on record as saying it was the last time there was proper knuckle in a game of footy. Blokes just dropping the
hammer. Dan Coles, I think.
Dan Coles
Tom
in there
Donnelly.
Scrapping.
Tom Donnelly scrapping.
Lynn scrapping.
Yep.
It was terrific.
Look, we don't condone that, but please, can they do it?
Yeah.
I've never been in a fight in my life, but I like watching. So, guys, if you want to
go at it.
Deliver.
What do you got?
I'm going to go stick with club footy. It's a top-of-the-table clash in the Shoot Shield, Ramwick versus Gordon. I'll be down there again, Luke. Could you? You guys won't be there, though. You'll be somewhere else, I assume.
We're back to Manly Oval for the derby.
Yeah.
I'm going to go on record again, twice in this final segment, say there's not a big club, not a bigger club rugby derby game in Australia or anywhere in the world.
You've said that before.
Yeah, I think you're very sheltered living on the northern beaches here by saying that, Sean.
You played for both. Another club rugby
played
game.
For both clubs.
You show me another club rugby game that has 8,000 people turn
if
up.
If anyone's watching that has a bigger derby than that,
tell
club
us.
8,000.
I'm happy to prove
you're clearly
wrong.
Not COVID compliant if you've got 8,000.
Well, there won't be that many this weekend over the end of the COVIDs, but you know what I'm saying? It's going to be a cracking afternoon. It's a belter always.
Who are you going for?
Hard to say.
So the Waratahs, Brumbies chat from last week, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, that's another big game as well. Who the Force versus the Rebels. This is the ultimate revenge for the Force. You know, they were the ones that got kicked out of the competition for the Rebels to stay, and they can...
They've yet to notch up a win as well.
So and they can cause an upset? Out.
They certainly can. Like, forget about their last couple of performances where they've had... You've been smashed by the Reds and whatnot. I think if you look back to the start of the competition, they were competitive in all games. They've got to find more in the last 20 minutes, though, without a doubt.
I mean, they've started so well in so many games. They've just got to find a way to kind of keep the pressure on. At the moment, you know, after that sort of 20-minute mark, the momentum starts to shift a little bit, and it seems as though once the pressure comes on them too thick and thin, then, you know, like they just don't have the depth. And especially when you look last weekend, Brumbies had four Wallabies come off the bench compared to the Western Force. They don't have the depth, so they need to put themselves in a position come 50, 60 minute mark where they're almost, you know, like sewn a game up.
It got me thinking about that because of the lack of depth coming on late in the game. Maybe they've got to take the risk of holding a few of their key players back, a Lance, Ian Pryor, Kahui, and then do their very, very best for the first 40 or 50 minutes. Yeah. And then get the more experienced
classic
players on.
Classic Michael Checker finishes.
Yeah. Maybe, yeah.
Maybe even changing jerseys at halftime. The old Mighty
Ducks. Blue to red, the blue to yellow.
Hans, you can just come out and just go, you boys, we're going out now away strip. That's a
good I never felt comfortable around Hans. Always
Just on pop culture very quickly, you guys caught Cobra Kai. I'll be sinking my teeth in this.
Cobra Kai.
It's the remake of Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah, it's on Netflix.
Johnny Lawrence is back.
It used to be on YouTube. I already was eight episodes deep before.
It's all time. That's something else I'll be watching on the weekend.
Salesman now.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Well, were you going to talk about your 21st?
Yeah, talk
which,
about it.
Which was at this venue.
Hang on, I'm just got to stick my foot out of the vomit that was just there.
I don't know how we want to get into this.
How did you go on the yard glass?
Not great. Ended up with most of it down my front. Yeah. Obviously,
down into your leopard print undies.
Into the leopard print undies.
Actually, that was prime.
That's where I got them.
That was prime leopard print era. That were was
you, let me 19 guess, through to 21. Like, you would have been one of those kids like white collared shirt over his suit jacket like John Travolta, I reckon. Yes. You mean that type of bloke, I reckon.
Yeah. I also used to wear boat shoes on occasion.
You would have been. You,
shoes you haven't worn shoes since your 21st, Sean.
We probably should wrap this up.
Drew Mitchell, Stephen Hoyle, Sean Maloney, a pleasure as always here on the Aussie Rugby Show. I'm Louise Ransom. We'll see you next time.
That's it. Don't forget to subscribe to stay on top of the show with new episodes dropping each week. And remember, if moving pictures are more your thing, you can catch the show at rugbypass.com or via the Aussie Rugby Show on YouTube. Like, follow, subscribe, tell your friends, your uncle, you know the drill. See you next week.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.